Hello, my name is Rob Bennett. I'm the author of a book entitled Passion Saving, The Path to Plentiful Free Time and Soul-Satisfying Work. I'm also the publisher of the PassionSaving.com website, and I'm working on a second book entitled Investing for Humans, How to Get What Works on Paper to Work in Real Life. This is podcast number 157. I'm recording it on Thursday, August 13th, 2009. The Peak 10 level today is 17. That's a little on the high side. Stocks offer a reasonably good value proposition, a long-term value proposition at today's prices. The music for the podcast is by Kevin McLeod at Incompetech.com. The title of this selection is Swimmy Texture. The title of the podcast is The Personal Finance Blogosphere Can Save Us or Ruin Us. All of the materials at PassionSaving.com, all the articles, the calculators, the podcast, the blog post, are rooted in a premise that the dominant model of understanding how stock investing works, the passive investing model, is wrong. It was all a mistake. And needs to be replaced with something I call the rational model. The difference is passive investing, the thing that passive investors are passive about is their stock allocation. Passive investing argues that it's okay, or even a good thing, to stick with the same stock allocation when prices change, when valuation levels change. The rational model says just the opposite. The rational model says to have any hope of success as a long-term investor, you must adjust your stock allocation when stock prices change, especially if they change dramatically, as they did from 96 through 2008, when stock prices went to insanely dangerous levels. All of the experts should have been advising us to lower our stock allocations, and they didn't. They told us to defy our common sense, to ignore our common sense, and the results have been, I think it's fair to say, an unmitigated disaster. The biggest loss of middle-class wealth in the history of the United States, our economy suffering from the second biggest economic crisis in our history, and even our political system is showing some stress and strain in these healthcare discussions going on today. People are becoming angry with their political leaders and losing trust in their political leaders. And a big reason for that is this economic crisis that was brought on by the reckless and irresponsible promotion of passive investing for the past 30 years by the quote-unquote experts in this field. Now, the big thing, the fact that passive investing doesn't work, I'm not going to go into that here, but there's lots of materials at the site, lots of discussion of it in earlier podcast. All the historical data shows that valuations affect long-term returns and that therefore you must change your stock allocation when prices change dramatically. Passive investing cannot possibly work in the long term. It can work for, 5 years, 10 years. It cannot work long term. It's a disaster in the long term. In trying to persuade the middle-class investor of that, we have a big problem. The stock-selling industry makes millions promoting passive investing. And the stock-selling industry sees it as being in its best interest to continue to promote passive investing regardless of what the historical data says, regardless of what the academic research says, regardless of how much financial pain is caused to the investors suffering as a result of these marketing campaigns, which I don't believe are ill-intended, but I do believe they're dangerous, whether they're ill-intended or not. The effect is the same. The effect is a wipeout of the middle-class investor, and ultimately, I think, a wipeout of the stock-selling industry. I don't see this as being in anyone's best interest, but I think it's fair to say that many in the stock-selling industry do see it as being in their self-interest, and so they ignore many of the signs showing that passive investing can't work. And because they ignore it and never explore the realities, never check what the historical data actually says, never get up to date on the academic literature, they don't know how dangerous the ideas they're promoting really are. Well, we live in a time when there's something available to us that could help with this problem, and it's called the personal finance blogosphere. in person. Blogs are not owned by the stock selling industry. Blogs are owned by individual people, and blogs generally are not big income producers. So there's no reason why, there's no apparent reason why the owner of a blog would not be happy to share, to allow discussion of the realities. So the personal finance blogosphere can save us. However, my experience with the personal finance blogosphere has been mixed. I've spent, early this year, I started writing guest blogs, contacting different blogs about what we learned during the first 7 years of the Great Safe Withdrawal Rate debate. The debate has been conducted in the Retire Early and Indexing Discussion Board communities. And I've had some very positive reactions. I've had some very negative reactions, and I've had some mixed reactions. The purpose of this podcast is to just report, to let you know what's happened, to sort of form a record of what's happened so that we can learn from it, hopefully, for many years to come. The wonderful thing about the internet is that when these discussions happen, a record is kept so that we can go back after we see the results of what the promotion of these ideas has done to us and then see, you know, what were people saying at earlier times. So I want to form a little bit of a record. And, of course, think the issue through, and maybe, you know, by thinking it through, we come to some better ideas for how to approach blogs and, you know, get encourage them to help us out of this economic crisis by permitting honest discussion of the realities of stock investing, honest discussion of what the historical data says. But as I say, I'll get in. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through, I think I have about 20 blogs that I've contacted more than that, but I wrote a list of 20 that I'm going to try to hit the highlights of in one podcast if I can fit it in. And give you an idea of how different blog owners have responded. And maybe I should leave it at that. But the point I wanted to make is you would think that these blog owners would be thrilled. You would think, you know, obviously the idea that passive investing doesn't work is a controversial idea. It should generate a lot of discussion, if nothing else, even if it's 100% wrong. If everything I say is 100% wrong, it should certainly generate discussion. So blog owners should be thrilled. But no, that's not the reaction I've gotten. There are some blog owners who have been straight up people and have run some powerful stuff. I'm very impressed with some of them. Not all, and not even many, but some. But even in the cases where people are stand up, you often don't get a lot of reaction. In other words, the people reading the blogs aren't always that excited to learn the realities. Or maybe they're not sure. Maybe they're excited in a little bit, but they're not sure. And the realities seem a little too shocking, I think, to some people. When they think, you know, if the reality was that the passive investing model was a little bit wrong, I think people could accept it. But when the reality is it's totally wrong, totally backwards, that they've been teaching us for 30 years not to time the market, and the reality is we must time the market, that's a little hard to take. So the personal finance blogosphere is not going to be, it may end up being our salvation, but it's not going to be quick. It's not going to be a quick salvation. There's uncertainty. And the reality is, even though blog owners don't really get paid millions of dollars like a lot of the experts in the stock selling industry do, they get things like links. There are a lot more blogs today promoting passive investing than there are promoting rational investing, that's for sure. And the name of the game on the internet is links. And if you're going to come out strongly against passive investing, you're going to pay a price in the link department. That's a reality in the month of August 2009. So these are realities. If you want to get, you know, people have to come to understand, why is it? Rob, you say the historical data says this. Well, then why doesn't everybody just report it? If we were working with a clean slate, everyone would favor rational investing. I don't think there'd be one person on planet Earth who would dispute it. The trouble is we are not dealing with a clean slate. We're dealing with a slate in which 90% of the experts advocate passive investing. There are, 30 years of magazine editions and books and calculators and all this sort of thing, and all of that needs to be corrected, and there's a lot of institutional opposition to the idea of correcting it. And that's true on blogs. A lot of blog owners don't want to be quote-unquote controversial. They don't want to have their links taken away. They don't want to anger the big shots. So it's not as simple as it might seem. Solving the investing problem intellectually is one thing. That's the easy job. Persuading people to say the three magic words, I and was and wrong, is a very, very, very different job and a very much more complicated job. So I just want to go through. I have 20 cases I want to describe, and I'll offer some comments. And I cannot see into people's minds. Some of the behavior is so strange that I am compelled to offer some observation or some speculation as to what drives it. If I don't do that, I'm not telling the story, I'm not doing my job as a reporter. But I do want to start with the caveat that I do not have magic powers to see into people's minds, and I can, of course, get things like that wrong. When I'm entering the realm of speculation, please don't take what I say as gospel, because I have my biases, as you do, as everyone does, as these blog owners do, and I'm going to see it from my perspective, and I can't help that. I'm limited in that respect. All humans are. If any of the blog owners discussed in this podcast are unhappy with how I describe their behavior or their motivation, and or think that I've said something inaccurate, I hope that they will write me. Go to that Contact Rob button on the left side of every page of the website. Let me know, and I will give you space at the blog to make your case. You will certainly be given an opportunity to make your case. I encourage that. I think that's healthy. I think that helps us take things in a positive direction. I consider every blog, every owner of a blog in the personal finance blogosphere my friend, or at least a prospective friend, somebody I'd like to be friends with. I'd like to see us all working together. I'd like to see passive blogs and rational blogs and, you know, half passive, half rational blogs, and all of us working together as a community with the goal of learning how to invest effectively. That's the ultimate goal here. My belief is that the way we achieve that goal is not by being afraid to talk honestly about what we've seen with our eyes. We have to have the courage to post honestly. We have to have the courage to say what really happened. And in some cases, it's an ugly story and we have to tell it. But we have to temper that with love. We have to temper honesty with love. We want to help people learn the investing realities, but we don't have to tear each other apart in doing so. That's negative. That pushes us backward instead of moving us forward. Honesty, courage, tempered with love, charity. That's the motto that we're working under. And if I fail in my, please pray for me that I'm able to walk that delicate line. And if I fail, please help me by letting me know. All right. The first one I'm going to talk about, because it came up this morning and sort of prompted me to record this blog, which I've been thinking about for some time, is bad money advice. This guy, Bad Money Advice, it's a blog. It's on my blog roll. I go there almost every day. Not quite, but almost. The guy who runs it, he calls himself Frank Curmudgeon. I think that's a screen name. I don't think that's a Christian name. I don't know. I have mixed feelings about Frank. His blog is called Bad Money Advice. I like the idea behind the blog a lot. And some of the blog entries there are fantastic. And the people who comment there are very intelligent. So those are all positives. The idea of the blog is to find people giving bad advice and criticize it. And we need more of that, in my opinion. It has to. The trouble I always get into with Frank is that I love it that he does this. I love the concept of the blog. He's sometimes a little harsh, and I think that's unfortunate. I think it's all, look, I have to give my opinion. We all come from different places. I almost always think it's wrong to assume bad motive, because I've known people that get things terribly, terribly wrong and with the best of motives. Humans are just flawed creatures, and so I don't like calling people names. Sarcasm, I don't like. every now and then something becomes so ridiculous you almost have to make fun of it. You just, it's not human not to make fun of it, but I don't like to go down that road. Frank, I don't think Frank crosses the line that often, but in the area of investing, I feel that his handling of his blog has left something to be desired, although it has not been, it certainly hasn't been the worst. He's certainly not the worst out there. He's probably in the more on the good side than on the negative side. My history with Frank is that I wrote him, I asked him if he'd like to run a guest blog entry, and his answer was no, but it was an interesting, he sent me an email. What I liked is that he sent me an email back and gave me a fairly long answer. So it wasn't a brush off at all. And he said, well, he said, I've looked at some of the stuff at your site. And he said, maybe I haven't spent enough time there. But he clearly was interested. He was interested enough to spend some time looking at the material. And that impressed me. And he didn't dismiss it. But what he said was, he said, I can't let you run a guest blog entry because I don't agree with what you're saying. He doesn't agree with valuation-informed indexing. I presume he likes passive, although I don't want to put words in his mouth. But I think generally he does. Generally he does. For example, so then we had this email exchange, and I felt that was positive. I mean, he didn't agree to run the guest blog, but I felt his reason was fine. I didn't have a problem with it. So the way I heard him was, I'm going to sort of think about it and, you know, continue to check your stuff out, and maybe someday I'll do it. And that's... can't be more fair than that. Then Frank put up a blog entry saying, you know, why timing almost never works, something like that, or why timing is hard. He didn't take a dogmatic stand and say it never works, but he said it's very hard. He was clearly anti-timing the market. And rational investing, the whole idea is to time the market. The idea is that short-term timing doesn't work. Changing your stock allocation with the thought you're going to see a benefit in 6 months or a year doesn't work, but changing it with the thought that you're going to see a benefit in 3 years or 5 years or 10 years always works, always has. So to not do that is to not pay attention to price. So long-term timing is required. And so Frank wrote his piece, and then I wrote a comment, fairly long comment. And again, Frank sent an email to me, and again, he indicated he was paying attention. He was sort of impressed, but he didn't agree. And so I had a very positive feeling about Frank, and I started posting regularly in his blog. And as time has gone on, he's let me down in small ways, never in big ways. He's never banned honest posting, and I post honestly there. I sort of feel the whole spirit of his blog is bad money advice. The whole idea is sort of honesty. You know, that he's going to critique others. Well, obviously, he has to be willing to critique himself if he's going to do that. So I've never pulled too many punches. And sometimes Frank says something I agree with. So, you know, there's no need to pull punches. But I don't know. There were a couple cases where I felt disappointed. One was he asked for numbers that people use that are wrong, that are obviously wrong. And I gave, I don't think you could have a better example than the old school safe withdrawal rate studies, numbers that people use to plan their retirements, and they're wildly wrong, and numerous experts have said so. And he said, I'll run a blog entry on any number anyone mentions that's wrong. And I gave this, and he didn't deny it was wrong, but he just said, well, that's not what I'm looking for. You know, he's not going to run the blog entry. That is, to me, is copping out. He's posted some real good comments at the Money and Such blog run by Shaddox, and he's asked some good questions over there. So I do think Frank wants to understand. I do think there's a positive motive there. But I think the whole idea that passive investing is totally wrong strikes him as being too much. He can't swallow it. It's too much. And I think that he very much is in this camp of thinking that investing success is an intellectual endeavor. I don't think he likes thinking that it's emotional. These are impressions I have. But he said at one point, oh, someday I'll do my grand unifying theory of, you know, market timing. And, you know, like sarcastic. And I'm just like, you know, you should do the grand... I didn't say this, but I thought in my mind, you should do your grand unified theory today before you post any more blog entries, because you're telling people they can't time the market, and that's bad advice. And this is called bad money advice. So you should be writing about yourself. And today, I'm going to have to keep this short because I'm going to run out of time otherwise. But today, he was criticizing the blog owner at Digerati Life. Digerati Life is a blog, also on my blog roll. I don't know exactly what she did. She used some kind of hedging or something or option. I don't even know what it was. I don't care. It doesn't matter. But it was to protect herself, I presume, from losses. And he said it was dumb. And it may, you know, whether as a technical matter it was a good idea or not, I can't say because I don't care. I didn't check it out. But I didn't like it that he's referring to her as dumb because on the one hand, how I see it, I've interacted with Digerati Life and she's very much a straight shooter. I have posted totally honest stuff at her blog. She's never agreed with me. She's never endorsed valuation-informed indexing. But she's never tried to, hush me up. And I respect that and I admire that. And I feel that she's struggling. I feel she's trying to learn what works. And that's what we all need to be doing. If we were all doing that, we could learn in a year. We could turn this thing around. So I didn't like it that he gave this sort of, harsh commentary. And I wrote to her and told her that I had put up a comment defending her. And she told me that she had put up a comment that was removed. That bothered me. But anyway, Frank is a mixed bag. I hope that Frank comes around. I think he's sincere in wanting to know, and I don't think he's really dogmatic in believing the old stuff, the conventional stuff. But I think he has a hard time accepting that it could be as wrong as it is. And if he's going to go around criticizing other blogs and other experts, I think he has an obligation to look at the man in the mirror. And he doesn't have to he certainly should not put up a blog entry saying he agrees with me if he doesn't, obviously. But he should put up a blog entry saying, Rob has questioned the numbers that people are using to plan their retirements, and here's his case, and I don't know if I agree or not, but it's important enough, I want to share it with you. These numbers may be wrong, and there's, here are the reasons why. To not do that much disturbs me. Since I mentioned her, proceed next to Digerati Life, but I've pretty much told the story. She's put up a couple blog entries dealing with timing the market, and she tells both sides. She doesn't endorse timing. She doesn't endorse not timing. And in one case, she commented on the blog in an article that's at my site called Market Timing, What Works, What Doesn't. And on another time, she allowed me to post some comments. And as I say, totally straight up, she doesn't endorse, but she allows the comments to stay. One time the Grainy Goons attacked, and she sort of gave a warning. She didn't remove them, but she said, this isn't appropriate. Straight up, if everyone did that, we would learn. We would the ball would advance. And that, to me, is what it's all about. In other words, I focus more on process than on substance. I, of course, have my views about substance, but I acknowledge that anybody can get the substance wrong. We're all humans. But the process is we have to treat each other with respect and affection. And by doing that, we open up the debate and we learn and we advance. So Digerati Life, I think it's possible someday she'll come around. We'll see. I have hopes. We'll just see. But she doesn't write about investing very much. So it may be that she never will come around. Her focus tends to be more on the saving side. But I think she's a straight shooter. I think she's fair-minded. And I think that counts for a lot. And you'd like to think that everybody was that, but in the investing realm, it's hard to find. It's hard to find. Now, I mentioned somebody who I don't think is a straight shooter, and maybe this guy will come around. I presume it's a man. I don't know for sure. Incidental Economist. This guy left a bad taste in my mouth. Very little dealings with him, but the short dealings left a bad taste in my mouth. This was just last weekend. There was a blog entry at Oblivious Investor. Oblivious Investor pushes passive indexing. And he just had a roundup of different blog posts. And he mentioned a blog post by Incidental Economist. And the blog post by Incidental Economist was on a very good subject. It was on the efficient market theory. A lot of people are criticizing the efficient market theory today. I used to see it every now and then before the crash. I see 3 or 4 articles a week now. And the efficient market theory is nonsense, and all passive investing is built on it, and that's why the whole model is nonsense. So that word is spreading. And he was writing it. He was defending the efficient market theory, incidental economist. But that's good because he believes in it. But he was discussing an important issue. Well, I went in and put up a comment because I learned about it from the Oblivious Investor blog. I don't follow the Incidental Economist blog. And I mentioned in the comment that Rob Arnott, former editor of the Financial Analyst Journal, said recently that the conventional investing wisdom of today is, quote, myth and urban legend, which I think sums it up better than anything else I've seen. Warren Buffett has said the conventional investing wisdom of today is, quote, unquote, nutty. That's also a good summing up. Incidental Economist removed the post. This is lame. I think it's irresponsible. If you are going to hold yourself out as knowing something about investing, which is what you're doing when you write a blog and you tell people the efficient market theory is a good thing, I think you have an obligation to allow. I mean, you don't have to accept comments. Some don't accept any comments. But if you're going to accept comments, you're obligated to accept comments from both sides. Otherwise, it's a Potemkin village. You're pretending that you're fair-minded by accepting comments, but your readers don't know that you delete any comments that quote Rob Arnott. Unacceptable. Lame. I saw a lot of links there to Bogleheads and all these big passive investing dogmatic groups. And I think that's why he deleted the comment. The passive investors have circled the wagons, the dogmatics. A lot of us are passive investors, but not dogmatic. But the dogmatics have circled the wagons. They can't defend their ideas. They can't tolerate questioning. And I find it a turnoff. So I hope Incidental Economist comes around, but I was not impressed. I can teach you to be rich. I don't know too much about this blog. I think it's a really big blog. I've heard people talk about it. I think the guy wrote a book or something. And it's so big that he was able to spin off a discussion board. And I got into a conversation with him at the, what was it called? Free Money Finance, I think it's called. Fairly big blog. And I got into a discussion in the comments section, and he said, hey, come over to my discussion board. And I said, fine. I went over there, and I wrote a thread saying, you know, passive investing can never work. He had a couple questions, perfectly reasonable questions. I responded. And after a couple little exchanges, there was no attack at all, which is good, clearly. No attack at all. But after, I don't know, I think he asked me two questions. And I had, you know, the original post and then two long responses to his questions. And then the thread just died. No one else joined in. I don't think a lot of people come to the discussion board. I mean, enough to keep it going, but not a big number, not a huge number. And but what sort of surprised me was that the guy who invited me to come over, you know, I feel that what I would have expected in ordinary circumstances, he would say, I agree or I don't agree, or, you know, this is really interesting, I'm going to study this, or what you have said here is amazing, or, you know, something, or what you've said here is idiotic. It's a trend. I think it's a positive trend. It used to be that when I would say what the historical data says about whether passive investing can work, that it never has worked, I would get anger. Because there were always people interested. There was always a group that would be very, very excited and interested. But that was always a minority. And there was a group in the middle that just ignored it. But there was always a group of hostile passive investing dogmatics. None of those showed up on that thread. And I've had that experience numerous times since the crash. It's becoming a trend where instead of getting attacks, the reaction is just silence. Sort of, let's, you know, we don't want to talk about this. Shame. I would describe it as shame. We don't have any answers. We can't show this guy to be wrong. We have no data to point to. We have no logic to defend passive, but we're not going to agree. We're not going to go along with this. We sure don't want people knowing that this doesn't work. We don't want to admit ourselves it doesn't work. That's, you know, I don't think that's a great reaction. I don't think it's appropriate. I think if something this basic is challenged, you know, by somebody who obviously knows some idea what he's talking about, not just an idiot, I think you are compelled to at least look into it. You know, if you're in this field. I mean, if you're writing about, you know, investing every day. And that didn't happen. However, I certainly give that blog, I Can Teach You to Be Rich, credit that there were no attacks. People who wanted to read about it were free to do so and to learn, and that's good. So, you know, that advanced the ball. You know, the words are there. People could have asked. There was nothing that stopped others from asking questions. So a net positive. Frugal Dad has been probably my most frustrating, not because he's done anything wrong, but just personally. Frugal Dad was the first blog I wrote to way back in the winter. Frugal Dad has a blog. It's a excellent saving blog, probably the best. And I had great respect for Frugal Dad. And I wrote him with a proposition, and he showed no interest. The proposition was, he doesn't write about investing much. So I don't think it means that he doesn't know as much about the subject matter as he does about saving, where he clearly is an expert. But that's a good thing, because that means he's not as dogmatic as the passive investing dogmatics. So I felt the way to proceed here was not to go to the dogmatics, the people who have been pushing passive investing. Go to some people on who have a big blog, they reach a lot of people, they care about their readers, and he definitely meets that criteria. And ask, you know, to form a partnership where I would write about investing once a week and he would write about saving, and that way, you know, it would build up his blog, because all these people who now are scared to invest and they want to learn the realities would learn, and it would bring people to his blog and ultimately would bring people to my blog, because I would link, you know, to the materials, the calculators and so forth at my site. Now, that's an extraordinary proposition, and I totally could understand if Frugal Dad elected to say no. He did not say no. He didn't respond. He did not, you know, give me a respond email. And I think I would give a response email. Somebody who wrote me an email that they put that much care, you know, spent 7 years studying the subject, I think they're worthy of taking 5 minutes to respond in an email. So I felt that was bad. I don't think there was any requirement, but I think it would have been the courteous thing to do. Then Frugal Dad wrote a blog entry where he was talking about the safe withdrawal rate studies, the 4% withdrawal rule, which is wrong, which we've shown to be wrong for 7 years now, even though the studies have never been corrected. And I wrote a comment saying that. He didn't take the comment down, but there was one poster there who was extremely hostile in his questioning. He asked some good questions, and I responded to the good questions, but there was hostility mixed in. Frugal Dad never came in and said, hey, can you lay off the hostility stuff? And I felt he should have. You know, it's his job to moderate. And Frugal Dad made a comment that was just factually wrong. You know, he said he defended the 4% rule, or didn't defend it. He just stated as if it were fact. He stated 4% was the rule back before the crash, which is wrong. The safe withdrawal rate dropped to 2% at the top of the bubble, not 4%. So the numbers were wildly wrong. He didn't say that. And then he said, now that prices have fallen, it's lower. He suggested that now it might only be 3%. And I said, Frugal Dad, you have it exactly opposite. It was 2% at the top of the bubble. You know, now the crash at the time, it was about 5%. So I said, you got it opposite. And his answer was, manage expectations. So what he's saying is when stocks are insanely overpriced and no one wants to know the truth, that stocks are a poor long-term bet, I'm going to manage expectations by spinning everything wildly pro-stock when they're most dangerous. But when stocks are much, much safer, as they are since the crash, we still may see another crash, we probably will, but the risk is very small compared to what it was before the first crash. Now I'm going to manage expectations down. I'm going to tell people to lower their stock allocation. Stocks are worse than they were. He's doing everything the opposite. Now, he's sincere. I'm sure of it, because he's a sincere guy. And he's talking about getting out of stocks. So he's not trying to sell stocks on anybody. He's talking about getting out. But I think he's hurting his readers. Again, he's totally sincere, but people should not be getting out of stocks. What people should be doing is learning about stocks. And what is so frustrating is he represents millions. There are millions of people who are not passive investing dogmatics, who would love to know the realities of stock investing, who are now getting out of stocks because they see that the game is rigged. They see that all the marketing slogans are BS. But the answer is not to get out of stocks. Get out of stocks and you're going to delay your retirement by many years. Stocks are a wonderful asset class, or at least so says Rob Bennett. We need these people participating in the discussions because these are the people that could swing it. These are the people who could stand up to the goons and say, hey, we want some straight talk. And if these people all leave the playing field, the goons dominate. So I find that very sad. I have hopes that Frugal Dad will come around, but I do think the problem is that he's intimidated. I think a lot of people who see that the marketing slogans are BS are intimidated. They don't feel they understand this stuff. And the truth is they understand it a lot better than a lot of the big-name experts do. They have if you have common sense, you can sail ahead of the big-name experts. What the big-name experts do is put on a show. They act like they understand it. They use big words. They use charts, tables, all this jazz, and it doesn't amount to anything. Anybody who pushes passive investing doesn't understand the ABCs of stock investing. Passive investing is a crazy idea that you don't need to pay attention to price when buying stocks. It makes no sense. So I encourage people like Frugal Dad and the people who read his blog, don't be intimidated. Don't be intimidated by the people putting on a show. Frugal Dad could change the history of investing if he would go along with my proposition and let me post once a week a guest blog there at his blog. He has no requirement to do so. It was a request. I certainly did not mean to suggest otherwise, nor would I ever. But I do think he could do something very positive for a lot of people, and I think his heart is very much in the right place, and I hope that in time maybe that will happen. Free Money Finance is a strange story. Free Money Finance ran a guest blog by me. I forget the title, but it was a pretty good one a long time ago. When I was posting at a place called Money Blog Network, Free Money Finance, there were some people attacking me. And Free Money Finance came to my defense. So basically a good guy. And that's why I started posting, commenting regularly at his blog. And he writes about investing fairly frequently. But we got into some discussions where I think it'd be fair to say I had some others posting in agreement with me. And we were making a very, very strong case. And Free Money Finance sometimes calls in these quote-unquote experts. They're usually selling something, in my opinion. And they were not looking so good. They were quoting the old school numbers, and we were giving the straight story, and they were looking sort of bad. And this is totally speculation. My guess is one of them contacted him and said, "Hey, I'm not going to keep posting at your blog if you keep letting people criticize what I say." I don't know that. It's totally speculation. I have zero evidence, but that's my gut feeling there. Free Money Finance wrote me the strangest email. He wrote me an email saying, asking me to ban myself. He said, "Rob, I'd like you to stop commenting at my blog." I've never heard of a blogger asking people not to comment. Just bizarre. And I said, "Why should I stop commenting? We've had some great discussions. Everybody's learning. Why would I want to stop commenting?" And he said, "Well, you're dominating. You've got this retirement calculator. You know the historical data. You're dominating." Well, so? It's a good thing, right? People are learning. He says, "Oh, I've asked you nice." Yeah, I said, "I agree. You've asked me nice." He said, "I ran a guest blog." I said, "That's true. That's true. I applaud you for it. Why should I ban myself?" Then he banned me. So he doesn't want people giving both sides of the story at his blog. Why? Only Free Money Finance knows. I think it's because he has these quote-unquote experts write guest blogs, and they don't like the other side of the story being told. Do not know that. It's just a guess. But I think it's strange that someone would ask me to ban myself, and then when I declined the invitation, would ban me himself. Quest for Four Pillars. This is a guy, very smart guy. He's on my blog roll. I go there almost every day because he's smart, and he's generally fair. But he's not fair all the time. A strange mix. Quest for Four Pillars is the guy, Mike. There's two guys actually that blog there, Mike and Mr. Cheap. But Mike participated in the discussions at MoneyBlog. Is it MoneyBlog Network? I think, yeah, MoneyBlog Network. And he asked me about Bernstein, Bill Bernstein. And I pointed out that Bernstein gets the safe withdrawal rate right in his book. But then when he was at Vanguard Diehards, he said he couldn't remember. He didn't know what the safe withdrawal rate was. When Mel Lindauer was there, Mel Lindauer has threatened physical violence on posters who post honestly. And, you know, when Mel Lindauer was there, all of a sudden, you know, Bill can't remember. I don't have no idea what the safe withdrawal rate is. He writes about it in his book. So I think he has an idea. And I know the page number. I could tell him the page number to check it out. So I reported this, you know, as part of this discussion. And Mike says to me, well, you know, what is your problem with the safe withdrawal? What's the big deal? Why don't you just let it go? And I said, well, I posted at Motley Fool. A lot of people believe these studies. And they're going to suffer busted retirements. And these people are my friends. When you post with people on a daily basis for years, they get to be your friends. And I don't want them to suffer busted retirements. Is that not a problem? That friends of mine are going to suffer a busted retirement? I shouldn't tell the truth? And his answer was just incredible. His answer, I said, is that a problem? And he said, it's hard to say. Well, that sums it all up. The problem with investing in the year 2009, that there's a guy who's a smart blogger. Smart guy. You know, well, he helps other bloggers. He seems like a good guy. And yet he finds it hard to say whether it's okay to give false numbers, demonstrably false. The safe withdrawal rate's a numerical calculation. Demonstrably false numbers to plan their retirements. It's hard to say whether that's a bad thing. Well, I've put forward some strong posts at the Quest for Four Pillars blog. Four Pillars is named after Bill Bernstein's book, Four Pillars of Investing. I've put some strong posts there. And he's allowed those to stay up, to his credit. But there were two incidents that I thought were not to his credit. One, there was an incident with at the Canadian, I think it's called Canadian Money Forum. It's a discussion board. I tried to sign up, and one of the goons found out about it. It's the guy who was a part owner of Financial Webring Forum. Forget his name at the moment. Norbert Schenkler. Norbert found out, and Norbert got me banned before I ever posted. And so at the Quest for Four Pillars blog, Mike was raving about this forum, Canadian Money Forum. I think it was founded by a couple bloggers he knows. And I put up a post. I said, look, it may be a great forum. I said, I sure wish they would allow honest posting. But I'm not allowed to post because I have a reputation for posting honestly on safe withdrawal rates. And, of course, that sounds horrible. And, you know, they jump in. The people from Canadian Forum came over. You know, Mike says, oh, I'm sure they would never do that. And the people from Canadian Forum came in and said, oh, no, we would never. You know, he's paranoid. Why would we do such a thing? You know, he probably lost his registration. I said, look, I'll re-register right now. Let's see what happens. And I did. And I couldn't get in. I said, can you please explain to me why I can't get in? I sent them emails. I tried over and over again. Now there's no response. So, I wasn't wrong. I was banned. And I was banned because Norbert Schenkler wanted me banned. I was banned because Norbert Schenkler knows that I have a reputation for posting honestly on what the historical data says for safe withdrawal rates. I've been doing it for 7 years now, everywhere I go. And the Canadian Money Forum doesn't want it to appear. Why? I can't say. My guess is they don't want the goons mad at them. They don't want the people at, Norbert Schenkler's thing Financial Webring Forum. They don't want those people mad at them. They don't want the Bogleheads mad at them. They don't want the Vanguard Diehards mad at them, so forth and so on. They want to be in the club. And if you're in the club, you don't allow honest posting on safe withdrawal rates. This is where we stand in Investo World, August 2009. I could not have imagined that such things were true back in May, of 2002. It would have been beyond beyond my imagination. It would have been beyond my imagination to have believed that such a thing was true. But I know today, this has been, you know, I've seen this verified many, many times. This is what people need to learn, that we cannot trust what we hear about investing because there's too much money in flattering us, telling us what we want to hear rather than what we need to hear. And on the internet, there's not so much money, but there's links. And humans are what humans are, and a lot of people will give in to those pressures. And the Canadian Money Forum has given in to those pressures. And that means that they're giving demonstrably false retirement claims to their readers. They may not know that they're false, the owners, but they know that they shouldn't have banned honest posting. And the readers don't know that this was banned. As far as the readers know, people are allowed to post. Readers don't know this. So, I pose that sort of thing. The second incident with Mike, the owner of the Quest for Four Pillars, is he has a second blog called ABCs of Investing. So I went over there, and he had a thread there on or a blog entry there on the safe withdrawal rate studies, and he gave the old school numbers. And I put up a post giving the right numbers, and he took it down. I think he left it up, and then one of the goons, the Greeny Goon, showed up. And once the Greeny Goon showed up, he took them all down. So he took it down. So his readers don't know. And this is for beginners. This is for people who haven't studied investing. So they have no way of knowing that these studies are analytically invalid. They haven't, they don't have the background. But he takes it down. He does allow criticisms of passive investing at the Quest for Four Pillars blog, but not at the ABCs of Investing blog. And these are facts. If Mike wants to challenge it, I'll give him a blog. I'll give him a blog entry, guest blog entry. But this is what appeared before my eyes. Mulanomi, a guy named Pinho, writes the blog. Pinho has impressed me. Mulanomi, and I'm tempted to say he has some connection with that Canadian Money Forum. I'm not sure if that's true. He either has a connection or I'm not sure. I shouldn't say because I don't know. But he does have some connection. He's at least friends with one of them, but who owns it. Maybe he doesn't own it himself. But his name is somehow connected to it in my mind. I know there's some connection. But Pinho, I wrote him about doing a guest blog a long time ago, and he sent me an email that seemed promising. He certainly wasn't agreeing with me. I think the way he said it was, he said, "I've been having some ideas along these lines." Well, that sounded promising. Like, this is a guy, all he needs to see is the data, and, he's going to be a convert. And I sent him a long email, I remember, in response to that. I put a lot of time into it. And he sent no response at all. That was a little discouraging, but I still felt there was promise here. Then I got into a little discussion when I went to the Money Blog Network. I got into a little discussion with him, and I asked him to run a guest blog entry on Larry Swedrow. Larry Swedrow does guest blogs at Mulanomi. They call him Ask the Expert or something. And I said, I want to write about Larry Swedrow because Larry Swedrow is a smart guy who understands that valuations affect long-term returns. But he sat on his hands during the campaign of terror against the Vanguard Diehards group, and I think that reflects poorly on him. And I think some of his investing advice is poor because he takes personal offense when people point out things he's gotten wrong. He gets huffy. He's sort of, too full of himself, I think. He repeats what the books say. That's his tendency. He just repeats what the books say. And if it's in a book, it's true in Larry's mind. He doesn't like being questioned. So I wanted to write both the good and bad of Larry Swedrow. I said, people at your blog, look at him as an expert. Let's write the good and bad of Larry Swedrow. Well, he didn't like that idea, but I liked the way he responded because he didn't say, oh, Rob, you questioned Larry Swedrow. I got to kill you now. This ridiculous stuff that you get from Graney and Lindauer. He said, I forget how he said it, but he basically said, I don't want you to, write about Larry. But he said he could try something different. So that's an open-minded, not everybody thinks writing about Larry Swedrow is a great idea. I think it's a perfectly fine idea. I think if you're going to be out in the public world and you're going to advocate certain strategies, you should expect people are going to critique you. So I think it's a good idea. especially if it's fair-minded, and I tried to be fair. But, you know, he didn't agree. Fine. But he says, you know, submit another blog. Well, that's the fair thing. So that impressed me. Later, I did submit a blog. It was a long time then before he ran anything. But one day, he actually, I think I wrote a comment somewhere else, and he saw it, and he said, that would make a good blog entry. And I said, fine. And I wrote it up, and he liked it, and then we had some discussion at the blog. And then he said, oh, this could be another blog entry. I said, whoa. I said, this guy's like inviting me to do this stuff. So I wrote a second one. And so Pinho, in my mind, is a straight shooter. I'm impressed. I wish he would go to the next level. I wish he would say, hey, you know, what Rob is saying tells us that, you know, 90% of what we heard for the past 30 years is wrong. In other words, I wish he would take it to the next step. I wish he would go to his fellow blog owners and say, hey, let's, you know, let's speak out against the campaign of terror. Let's get honest posting opened up at Canadian Money Forum and at Vanguard Diehards and at Bogleheads and at Early Retirement Forum and at Index Universe. I wish he would go there. I don't think he wants to go there, not today. But he's run some good blog entries. And I would describe him as a straight shooter. I think he's on the right track. Money Blog Network, I've mentioned already. I should probably mention a little bit. I think I've talked about it on other blogs, though, other podcasts. Money Blog Network is a place where bloggers meet to talk about strategies for promoting their blogs. And I did a thread there on the problems with the conventional investing advice. It was strange. It was a very positive thread in a way. Lots of people were being friendly. There were no attacks until the very end. And I really enjoyed it because I was able to say the truth. You know, a lot of times when I post, I want to say the truth, but you have to pull your punches because people are, you know, the dogmatics, the passive investing dogmatics are so vicious. They're so brutal that you don't want to destroy the whole forum. So you sort of pull your punches. And I felt, this is fellow bloggers. They're all going to be in favor of the First Amendment. You know, I can just tell the truth the way it is. And it was very strange. People didn't, they didn't argue with me. But they all seemed to want me to say that I wasn't against passive investing. They'd say, well, you're really a passive investor, Rob. And I said, huh? That's what I'm against. What do you mean? They'd say, well, Rob, you're saying you only have to make one change every 10 years in your allocation. That's pretty passive. I said, well, if you're saying one change every 10 years is passive, then you're right. I'm passive because that's, I don't think you need to do more than that. But on average, that's not passive. That's the opposite of passive. Believe me, I've been banned, you know, from, you know, probably 15 different boards and blogs. If you add them all up. So the people who are passive investing dogmatics don't think I'm passive. And it would seem to me they'd have the right to say no. These are the people who get to say what passive is. They sure don't think of me as passive. So, you know, but I didn't agree. But it was funny. It was like they didn't want to disagree with me. They could see the logic, but they didn't want anyone to say that passive was wrong. You explain it. I can't make sense out of it. There's some sort of feeling there that, and this has been there. This is a thread that's been there from the beginning of the discussion 7 years ago. I used to get this all the time. I remember at the Fireboard. The Fireboard was founded by two guys who were trying to escape John Graney. John Graney was this ruthlessly abusive poster at Motley Fool, and there were thousands of us that built this wonderful retire early board, and we were trying to escape John Graney. And they built a board, and they said, you know, one thing we're never going to do is allow abusive posting here. You know, we're all going to be friends, and we're all going to learn. And it was a great board. And then I said, you know, I started saying, you know, we got to warn people. We have a retire early board here, and we have to warn people about the grainy study. Gets all the numbers wrong. It's not corrected. And I got these people who would say, you know, Rob, you're great. We love you. But, you know, could you not say the grainy's wrong? And I said, well why? Why would I do that? I mean, he's wrong. He hasn't corrected the study. He destroyed our board. People are reading his study every day on the internet. They're going to have failed retirements. Why wouldn't we tell people? What would the motive be? And no one ever gave me a motive, but people were angry. And this was what I was picking up on this Money Blog Network, this feeling that there's something wrong, there's something foul about pointing out somebody got a number wrong in a study. that that's not done in investor world. Never tell somebody they got it wrong, no matter how wrong it is. I don't even know that I can describe what's driving that, because it's so counter to my way of thinking. My feeling is I write for the readers. I write for the investors. And they need to know what's wrong, or they're going to bust their retirements. And I personally feel it helps Grainy to point out he got it wrong, because that gives him a chance to fix it before he does more damage. So I've never been able to understand this way of thought. But it is present. That I am sure. So someone else will have to try to explain it. But anyway, that was the story on that thread. Now, I'm going to segue from that to JCL at All Financial Matters blog, because JCL is one of the owners at Money Blog Network. And what happened was, we had this great thread. It went on several days. Wonderful stuff. And then one of the Grainy Goons found out about it. And he jumps in and puts up an abusive post. And it was very clear that he wasn't a regular, because all the regulars have blogs. And this newcomer had no blog. It was his first post ever. And it's this ruthlessly abusive trash post. And of course, it should have been deleted. It should have been taken down. It's JCL's job. So what does JCL, as the author of the All Financial Matters blog, so what's JCL do? Takes the whole thread down. Everybody loses access to this wonderful thread, you know, which we could have referenced. You know, whenever the discussion of investing came up, I could have said, look, here's a thread where we all discussed the problems with the conventional advice. And, you know, you can go through what Bernstein did and what Bogle did and what the data says, all this sort of thing. So I wrote him an email. I said, why'd you take it down? And he gives these phony, baloney answers. He said, well, you know, it would have taken 2 seconds to there were two abusive posts, and that would have taken 2 seconds to delete. But I could delete the whole thread with just one button, one push of a button. So it was going to take an extra second, so it just wasn't worth my time. You know, this is, I mean, I'm not quoting him exactly, but that was the gist of it. It was just, he wasn't trying to explain it. He was deliberately being dense. Because he wanted that thread down. And when, I think it was Drip Guy, who was the goon, he didn't post as Drip Guy, but it sounded like Drip Guy. Drip Guy wanted the thread down, and JCL wanted the thread down. But the question is why? Now you go to JCL's blog, and you see a lot of promotion of passive investing. So you have to wonder, did he want that thread down because it questioned the investing advice that he gives at his blog? That's what I think. Can't see into his brain. But that's what I wonder. And, you know, it's come back since. I mean, there was another guy later on at the Money Blog Network. He put up a post saying, I'm thinking of starting a new carnival. Any ideas on how to a blog carnival? I won't explain what it is, but it's basically a place where you collect links to a whole bunch of blog posts. And I said, I think we need a blog carnival on the problems with the conventional investing advice. You know, a blog carnival promoting rational investing, criticizing passive investing. So that all the people who write blog entries criticizing passive investing, you can, aggregate them all at one place. And, you know, people who have doubts about the conventional model will have one place to go. I think that's a great idea. You know, guy doesn't have to do it, but that's my sincere thought. And JCL comes on and you know, engages in all the sarcasm, you know, are there death threats against you again, Rob? You know, and of course there have been death threats against me. There have been death threats against my children and my wife and my fellow community members. So it's not something to joke about. Death threats are not something responsible people joke about. So JCL jokes about it. So JCL's not a responsible person, right? That's the inevitable conclusion. He's responsible on a lot of other issues. But on that particular issue, no, not responsible. To take down that thread was not responsible, in my opinion, Rob Bennett's opinion. Michael, you know, Scott Burns, just real briefly, he has some sort of, he used to be the financial columnist for Dallas Morning News. Good columnist, many years. Now he has some sort of money-making business involved with investment advice, but I don't fully grasp what it is. But he's some kind of advisor. And I think he also writes, you know, but he doesn't, he's not a full-time columnist. But as part of this business, he had like a blog where people could write, discussion board, whatever you want to call it. And I, you know, he had the old school safe withdrawal rate studies there and the wrong numbers. And I came in and I gave the right numbers. I gave a link to the calculator, the retirement risk evaluator. Scott allowed it to stay up until Drip Guy came on. He put up some smear stuff. And Scott took the whole thing down. So Scott Burns has banned honest posting at his blog. I find this just amazing. It's amazing. I can't describe how amazing I find it. But this happened. Now, Michael Kitsis took it the other way. Michael Kitsis is a financial planner in Maryland. He has a blog, and we had extensive discussion. You know, good stuff. Check the blog. I have it's in the archives. Search for Michael Kitsis, K-I-T-C-E-S. You'll find it. Michael put up a link to the retirement risk evaluator in his blog. He called it a fascinating retirement calculator. He didn't agree with me across the board, everything I say about passive investing. He agreed with some. He did say that passive investing is more dangerous than a lot of people realize. And he said the reason why it is promoted so heavily is because it came along during the time when our industry was being founded. In other words, our industry was founded during a wild bull market, and that slanted the investing advice that's become conventional. So Michael made a lot of good points, but he didn't ban honest posting at his blog. He actually linked to the only accurate retirement planning calculator on the internet that I know of. In my opinion, the others are not accurate. They don't include an adjustment for valuations, and the historical data shows that valuations are the most important thing, most important factor in the result. So contrast there between Scott Burns and Michael Kitsis. Like them both. I like them both. Out of Your Rut. It's a blog. It's not an investing blog put out by a guy. His first name is Kevin. I've had some email discussions with Kevin. I asked Kevin. He posted at some other blog, and I thought his comment was intelligent. I said, would you run a guest blog? And he said, well, he says, I don't really do the investing stuff. And I said, well, okay. I said, I understand, but I think this is a case where, you know, we need to get the word out. And he said, well, send me something. Let me look at it. And he did. And he ran it. I thought it was a good guest blog. And then after I wrote it, he said, Rob, if you want to do another one, I'll do another one. And I said, well, Kevin, I said, yeah, I'm going to do another one, but let's wait a little bit. You know, do your non-investing stuff, and I'll come back in a few months. Kevin, straight shooter. We need more like that. My goal is that someday, you know, we're going to have lots of people like Kevin, hundreds of blogs posting the realities. That could change the world. Because as middle-class investors become educated on the realities, all the BS of passive investing becomes unsustainable. Unsustainable, I believe. Good knowledge drives out bad knowledge. Both cannot survive. The reason for the friction in all these discussions has been when you report the numbers accurately, you can't have accurate numbers posted alongside inaccurate numbers. The people are going to compare, and they're going to choose accurate. So if passive investing is going to continue, rational investing has to be banned. It's the one point I can say in sort of in quote-unquote defense of the goons is that logically what they're doing makes sense. It doesn't make sense to invest passively. They're destroying themselves. But it does make sense if you're going to promote passive to ban rational because the two cannot coexist indefinitely. I mean, it could for a while we could coexist as friends and just sort of as a learning experience. But the more people learn, the fewer who are going to invest passively, I believe. So if large number of blogs start to promote rational, the passive blogs become endangered. It becomes more and more difficult to defend passive, and they will flip. Options for rookies. That was a strange one. Mark Wolfinger. He was a guy. He was sort of criticized at the Oblivious Investor blog because he advocates options, and the guy was sort of, I don't know, didn't want him always promoting options. And I defend it, Mark, just because I feel I have to stick up for people when they get pressured because it's happened so much to me. And then I wrote to Mark and I said, would you like to, you know, do a blog? I'll do a guest blog entry for you. You can do one for me. And he said, fine. And I did one that was sort of comical. It was sort of one of my comical ones. And I wasn't sure he would run it. It wasn't serious enough. But he loved it. It's a great blog. And he ran it. And one of the goons came on and just put up this, you know, defamatory stuff. And Mark basically freaked out. Now, he said in the beginning when it went up, he says, well, Rob, you have to, you know, I put up a post, you know, linking to the letter that I wrote to my congressman about getting legislation to protect us from these thugs and the background of the campaign of terror against our board communities. And that was fine. I felt that that did the job. You know, I gave the link so people could just read for themselves, decide what they thought. And that was fine. But then Mark got all panicky. He says, are these thugs going to come back? Are they going to attack my blog? And I said, Mark, they might. You know, they've come back other places. You know, it's your job. Just delete them. If you delete them, they won't come back. But if you continue to let them post anything, they've destroyed blogs. They've destroyed entire discussion board communities. So I can't promise you they're not going to come back in good conscience. And then he just went, he freaked out. He ended up taking the whole thing down, the whole blog entry. He's afraid. He's afraid of the goons. He says it's a First Amendment issue. In other words, if somebody posts defamatory comments, I'm obligated to put them up. Now, that's a strange understanding of the First Amendment. That's never been the understanding of the First Amendment through the history of the United States, that a publisher is required to post defamatory material, that it would be censorship for him to take something down because it's defamatory and false. It's never been required. But that's Mark Wolfinger's understanding of the First Amendment as of today, at least so he says. I have my doubts. I think he's afraid of the goons. Behavior Gap is a blog on behavior economics, the behavioral branch of economics and investing. And haven't posted there much, but I put something up about the errors in the safe withdrawal rate studies, and the guy who runs it asked for some background, and I thought that was a good sign that he's interested in learning more. And he didn't respond. He didn't say anything. But I think it's good that he asked for that material. And I posted that. I posted links. And I find that encouraging. We'll see where that goes. I don't know where it's going to go, but we'll see. Oblivious Investor is a funny case. Oblivious Investor is a good guy. Mike Piper. And he advocates the whole passive investing package. So I, of course, agree with him on indexing. I agree with Bogle on 60%. I agree with Mike on 60%, but I strongly disagree with the passive part. Mike has allowed, I've written many comments at his blog, critical of passive, and he's allowed that. So I think Mike's basically a good guy. Something that Mike said that struck me strange was, at one time I was saying, why don't you do anything? About the problem with passive. And he sort of said, I don't feel that I have any responsibility to take that on. In other words, there's these other problems that people still are promoting picking stocks, and I think that's bad. And people pay too much fees in the mutual funds, which, of course, I agree. And as long as those are problems, I'm going to focus on those. And I don't need to focus on the problems of passive investing. Well, I don't know. There's no law that says he has to, but the passive investing problem is a lot bigger than the problem of XX fees or the problem of people picking stocks that don't have the skills to do so. The passive investing problem is threatening to take the entire U.S. economy down. So I think that anyone who writes on personal finance is obligated to at least explore the question. You're certainly not obligated to agree. That would be wrong to pretend you agree when you don't. But you're obligated to explore it, and you're obligated to, let your readers know about the issues. So I don't agree with Mike on that. And it makes me think that he's putting marketing above serving his readers. I think he thinks that it's bad marketing to tell people that they've invested foolishly for 30 years, that they bought. And I think he wants those links. He wants those, I saw him posting at Bogleheads. He likes, the idea of getting the links from Bogleheads and all this sort of thing. He wants to be in the in-group. He wants to be in with the in-crowd, as the song said. But he does allow comments critical of passive investing at his blog. And that is to his credit. That's the honest thing to do, the right thing to do, and he does it. And if everybody behaved the way Mike at Oblivious Investor behaves, the world would be a better place. The world would be a better place, in Rob Bennett's opinion. Three more, I think, I've got. The last one, the longest. Weconomist is great. Weconomist, the guy's name is Phil. He's my hero. Phil, he was going to get married. And he said, I need some guest blogs, as many as I can get. And I said, Phil, I'll write you as many as you want. Tell me how many you want. And I gave him six topics, and he chose the two most controversial. And I said, okay. And I said, if you're going to choose the, you know, in my head, I said, if you're going to choose the most controversial, I'm going to give you controversial, you know. I'm not going to hold back because you're saying you want it. And I wrote him, I wrote one blog saying, it was called Rational Investing in Irrational Markets. And that was basically making the case that passive can never work. And I think Phil believes in passive investing. I don't know for sure. I think so. And I wrote one called, this is the most controversial one I've ever written, according to the content. I wrote, today's retirement planning advice is a sick joke. It's true. You know, I mean, you know, yeah, it sounds out there, but it's true. I mean, I can back it up. And I quoted people, you know, I quoted the people. I quoted Larry Swedrow saying the old school studies are garbage in, garbage out research. I had doubts whether Phil was going to run it at Weconomist, but he ran it. And he thanked me. He said, thanks. He says, I didn't know that about the old school studies. I was like, man, you're the aces, you know, you're the tops. He ran it. It got some comments. Some of the comments were positive. I think there was one sort of negative comment, but it was sort of subdued. And there were three positive comments. I thought that was great. That made me very happy. What amazes me about it is that you would think, I know there are other people that read his blog, people that have other blogs. I know this, you know, because I've seen them. They link to him in these carnivals. It wasn't picked up in any carnivals. Today's retirement planning advice is a sick joke. You would think that would get picked up everywhere. In other words, not that everyone would agree, but you would think people would be answering it. Some would agree and some would disagree and they'd want to answer it. They'd want to get a discussion. But no, there were three people who commented. I think there were a total of seven comments. I think three of them were answers by me, and then there were three who put positive comments and one a negative. That's my recollection. So seven comments, which is, you know, decent. And it's not a huge blog. It's a big blog, but it's not a huge blog. But it's strange that it doesn't, that it, you know, I feel it should have been all over the internet the next day. Today's retirement planning advice is a sick joke. They don't feel a need to defend themselves. They can't defend themselves. The historical data says what it says. But Phil at least, you know, put it in their face. If they're not going to defend it, at least they've been reminded, you know, that frankly, they're too cowardly to defend it, that they're pushing investing ideas that cannot be defended, that are indefensible. And that's his job. And he did his job. And I applaud him. Weconomist, great blog. Shaddox at Money and Such is up there with Phil, my favorite. I think he's been my favorite, and maybe he's still, they're sort of tied today. Shaddox doesn't agree with everything I say, although he does agree with some. He's run several guest blogs. What I love about Shaddox is he knows how to disagree respectfully and kindly and warmly. And he's, you know, he's challenged me on some points, but always respectfully. The discussions when I've done guest blogs at the Money, it's the Money and Such blog. Shaddox is the guy, but the Money and Such is the name of the blog. Every blog, I submitted three to him. And then I think he did two critiques. So there have been a total of five blogs at his blog, five guest blogs. All of them had great comments. All of them, is my recollection. Great guy, great blog. That's the way it should be, a model for the rest of the personal finance blogosphere. If everyone on the personal finance blogosphere handled it the way Shaddox and Phil at Money and Such and Weconomist handled it, we wouldn't have an economic crisis today. People would know the realities of stock investing today. The last one is Get Rich Slowly, and that's possibly the biggest personal finance blog out there, huge blog. Gets, you know, like 100 comments almost every day. J.D. Roth is the author. J.D. Roth writes a great blog. He's a great writer. He deserves his success. Wildly successful. He makes a living out of this. And he deserves it, in my opinion. Strange experiences there. Strange experiences. I don't know if... I don't want to go into it all because it would take too long, but... I had this strange story with JD. I commented at his blog when a guy, Bill Schultheis, the author of The New Coffeehouse Portfolio, a book, commented, and I questioned what Schulthess said. Schulthess had a guest blog, and I critiqued it, said he was wrong. And Bill and I got into a discussion, which was productive, but there came a point when I wasn't able to post anymore. My posts were not showing up, and I assumed that I'd been banned. And I wrote to JD and I said, have I been banned? My posts aren't showing up, and I never got a response. So then I really assumed it. So I wrote that at my blog, and JD got very upset. You know, he said, oh, I would never ban you for that. I would never ban you. I've never banned anybody. And, you know, all I have is my reputation on the internet. And he was really beside himself. And I don't think that's a bad thing. It's sort of a good thing. It means that he cares about his integrity, his reputation for integrity. That's good. So I don't have a problem with it, but I said, JD, okay, if you tell me you didn't ban me, you know, I'll take your word for it. And I put in a correction. And he said, that's not good enough. and he was still beside himself. I mean, he was just bonkers. And we had this long email exchange, and he was telling me I'm mentally ill, and, you know, why are you doing this? And I'm like, I said, I corrected the thing. What do you want me to do? He wanted me to take away the post, and I said, I'm not going to delete the post. I said, people have a right to know that I thought that and that I was wrong, because that tells them something about me, that I can get things wrong. I said, I'm not going to doctor the record, but I will correct the record, and I've done that. And then, you know, after this big interchange, I thought about it some more, and I said, well, maybe I should put the correction instead of at the bottom. I should put it right there in the paragraph where I'd said it and put it in bold. And I did that, and I wrote to JD, and he says, yeah, that does it. Now he was happy. So fine. We worked it out. But what struck me so strangely is he's hyper aware of the problem of reputation on the internet. And of course he's right. If you're writing a money blog, your reputation is everything. Well, in a subsequent thread, I criticized passive investing. And the grainy goons came over with the intent of destroying that thread. And they used their old tricks of defamation, you know, defamation, threats of physical violence, word games, deception, intimidation, all that stuff. And they did it endlessly, and we had lots of people participating on that thread. I think it might have even been the Schulthess thread. You know, they came back. After I was able to post, I put up my responses to Schulthess, and then the goons, you know, talked about it over at the grainy board, and then they all came in on the attack. And JD came in, and JD just, I said, JD, why are you allowing defamatory posts? I said, I thought you agreed that the defamation is a serious problem, that reputation on the internet is important. These people are defaming me, you know, not once, not twice, not three times, 20 times in one thread. And you're sitting there in your hands? He never did a thing. And ultimately, he threatened to ban me because people were reading this and were repulsed by it. And they were saying, JD, you know, I'm gonna unsubscribe from your blog. You know, this stuff is sickening. And so ultimately he said, Rob, if the goons attack you again, I'm going to ban you if you respond. In other words, they can attack, they can put up defamatory posts, but you who have never put up a defamatory post, who have never attacked, who have never posted abusively, you must be silent when they do so. You must not set the record straight. Now, that's wrong. You know, do I think JD's a smart guy? Yes. Do I think JD's a good guy? Yes. Do I think JD has a great blog? Yes. Would I love JD to link to my blog? Yes. He's got a lot of, you know, juice, so to speak. Am I going to not tell my readers that JD failed his readers when he failed to ban defamatory posting at his blog? Yes. Or I don't know how I phrased that question. The answer is yes, I'm going to do it. I don't remember how many negatives I had in there. JD was wrong. JD was wrong. In Rob Bennett's opinion, wrong as wrong can be. Wrong as wrong can be. When you allow the goons to have veto power over what appears in your blog, you empower them. You encourage them. When you shut them down, when you say, I will not allow this filth and sewage at my blog, the goons, like all bullies, go running home to mama. So JD was wrong. JD Roth. And the guy at, It was Lazy Man and Money. He was one of the people participating at the Money Blog Network. And he said, you know, he says, Rob, why don't we have J.D. Roth look at these claims you have about the old school studies being wrong? J.D. Roth is well respected by everybody here. You know, let him write a blog entry about it. And if you're wrong, he'll say you're wrong. And if Granny's wrong, he'll say Granny's wrong. And I said, that's one fantastic idea, Lazy Man. And we went to J.D. and we said, J.D., what about it? And J.D. wasn't willing to do it. He wasn't willing to do it. And J.D. engaged in all sorts of word games in that Schulthess thread. You know, he said, tell me what's wrong. And I said, what's wrong is the numbers are wrong. And he came up with some, you know, he says, oh, Rob, you're saying that they say 4%, but look, there's one place where it says 3.9. They're just rounding up to 4, as if that mattered. The accurate number is 2%. And the 4% rule has been quoted hundreds of thousands of times on the internet. You know, run a Google search for 4% rule. It's been quoted thousands and thousands and thousands of times. Common practice. And he's saying, because you didn't take it out 6 decimal points, there's no need for them to report the numbers accurately. Well, the people who suffer busted retirement still suffer them, whether it's taken out 6 decimal points or not. So, that was a shameful experience. J.D. Roth could change the history of investing by posting accurately on the safe withdrawal rate studies. And if he doesn't think they're wrong, at the very least, he should let people know about the issue. He's got an obligation to do that, in my opinion. He's seen up close and personal how vicious the grainy goons are. That's an issue in the personal finance blogosphere. I've had people send me emails saying, Rob, I'd like to run your guest blog entry. It would help my readers, but I am afraid. I'm afraid of John Grainy. I'm afraid of Mel Lindauer. I'm afraid of the internet predators that follow them around. I'm afraid that people like J.D. Roth won't stick up for me. They didn't say all those words, but they said they were afraid. I'm adding the rest. People shouldn't have to be afraid to state their honest opinions on the internet. For so long as they are, we've all let them down. And because J.D. Roth is a leader, frankly, in the personal finance blogosphere, the responsibility on him is greater than it is on a lot of others. So, that's my take. We're going to solve this economic crisis through the efforts of people. It's a community problem. And we all have a role. Those of us with higher profiles have a bigger role than those of us with low profiles. But we're not going to solve it by, you know, pushing the issue under the carpet. We're going to have to step up to the plate. We're going to have to speak up to our fellow community members. When other bloggers play games, we have to report that. We have an obligation to report that. We have an obligation to call them on the carpet. That's how we change this. That's how we get honest posting back. That's how we get our retirement money back. Because when we start investing rationally, we can make a lot of that money back over time. That's how we start having fun again in our discussions of how to invest effectively for the long term. Good luck with your investing strategies. Take care.